Welcome to the Cutter's Notch Podcast, a program created by Michael DeCamp, the author of Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch Studios, this podcast is focused on all things creative, with special forays into books and matters of faith. Join Michael as he catches up with an author, a songwriter, a painter, a comedian, or anyone working or supporting a creative endeavor. So turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of the Cutter's Notch podcast. I am Michael DeCamp, your host, and I hope to have a really cool discussion today with our guest, whom I will introduce. Yeah, see, you know, I'm an author. You'd think I'd know the word, the proper words to use. So I will introduce our guest in just a moment. So, but before I do, I want to kick off the second episode with what's going to be a reoccurring portion of this podcast. I'm going to share about a book, and it'll be either a book that I have recently read or a book that meant something to me sometime in the past that I've read. Just depends on where I'm at. You know, if I just start a book, I'm not going to share too much about it. But the book that I'm going to share about today, I got as a gift from one of my daughters, and it's called American Gods. Starz had a TV series of the same name based on this story. It's a thick book. It's a paperback, and it's got it's got 750 something pages. So it took me a long time to read it, but it's a kind of crazy story. And just for those of you out there who may have certain sensitivities, it does have a couple of rather explicit scenes, just FYI. And of course, like most books, it has some language in it. But it's based on the concept that all of the gods, small g, that humanity has created in their imagination over the centuries actually become flesh and blood real beings once they're created by these civilizations. And they've continued to live over the years. And one of them takes on a protege bodyguard by the name of Shadow, who has just gotten out of prison. And he takes him on an adventure, and it's kind of a battle between the old gods and the new gods. And that has nothing to do with Game of Thrones. Has everything to do with just this concept of the old gods, you know, like Odin and Thor and the Norse gods and the Greek gods, versus the new gods like the media and technology, things like that. So, except they, in this book, they're actually living, breathing characters. Kind of a crazy story. Ultimately, I enjoyed it. It took me a while to kind of get into it because it really is a concept book. It's very different from most things I've read, but very interesting. If you like that kind of fantasy kind of things that are definitely off the beaten path, you might give American Gods a read. Written by Neil, I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Gaiman, G-A-I-M-A-N. So I haven't introduced her yet, but have you read this book?
No, I haven't, but my friend's obsessed with that book.
Okay.
She keeps trying to get me to watch the series and read the book, but I have, it's so big and it's intimidating.
It is a huge book. It took me longer than normal to read it. Probably because I read a couple other books in the midst too that I needed to read for various purposes. But finally I'm like, I gotta get this book done. So, let's just jump into our discussion today. That's my book segment for today, but we have a guest with us. This You're my very first guest on this podcast.
I know. I'm so honored.
Well, I'm not sure if honor is worthy of that, but I'm here with Lizzie Lee. Lizzie is an author, and I've met Lizzie a few weeks ago. We're both part of an organization through Facebook here in Indianapolis called the Indianapolis Area Authors Network, created by another fellow author, Savannah Goins. I hope to have her on the podcast sometime not too far down the road.
Yeah, she's coming out with her new book soon, too, sequel.
I know. Basically, it's going to be released really, really soon.
Yeah.
So, I just met with her last Sunday, and we were talking about publication, different ways of being published and stuff. And so she's really excited about getting that going.
Yeah.
So
I have the ebook for the second one. I haven't read it yet, but I have it. Oh, I need to read it.
You got the ebook for the second one already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you one of her, what's she call them, street readers?
Yeah, street team or whatever. Yeah.
Well,
but I feel like a bad member because I haven't read it yet, but I've been doing it. But it looks fantastic. I mean, I liked her first book a lot.
Yeah. I read her first book also. It was, I enjoyed it. It was definitely not my typical genre of what I like to read, but it was definitely a fun read.
And yeah. I don't read a lot of fantasy, but I like that. I mean, I read Harry Potter and all of that, but
Harry Potter, is that a series?
Usually I read like Stephen King and like horror novels.
Oh, you're kind of in my strain then. Yeah. I've got a whole Stephen King section in my book rack around the corner. By the way, welcome to the Cutter's Notch Studios.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know, that's actually my dining room, but here we are. So Lizzie, before we get too deep into this, I'm going to ask you about your experience in publishing and your experience in writing and things like that. But why don't you start off and maybe just tell us a little bit about who you are? Tell us about Lizzie. As much as you're comfortable telling the world, because there could be somebody in Lithuania sitting and listening to this in the future. I doubt That'd it, but nuts. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Well, I got into art and stuff first, so I've been drawing for a really long time, and I love art, and then that kind of transformed into finding, like, new creative outlets. So then I started writing, and back in, like, when I was in middle school, I was writing, like, Harry Potter fan fiction and, like, Twilight fan fiction, and I think before that, I even wrote like Seventh Heaven fan fiction when that was a Seventh TV show, like way back, like, I don't know, I must've been like 13. So that's probably floating around on the internet.
You posted it.
Yeah. Me and my friend, we did it. So we posted all our stuff. It would be so embarrassing to read right now.
Someday when you become this super famous author, somebody's going to find that.
That'd be horrifying if that ever happened.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Lizzie Lee is a pen name. So we'll keep the real name a secret and nobody will trace it back to you. But
yeah.
So there was a fan fiction for Seventh Heaven. And who else? What else?
Harry Potter, Twilight, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries.
So all those kind of crazy stuff. Yeah. Well, except for Seventh Heaven. Well, which is kind of crazy in its own way.
I know. I don't know what even caused that to happen.
Yeah, my youngest daughter was really into Seventh Heaven also.
Yeah. So,
and she was very into Harry Potter. In fact, she's going to listen to what I'm about to say. She'll probably cringe a little bit, but, we used to come home every weekend and she'd be, my wife and I, we'd be out somewhere. We'd come home and, sure enough, she'd be in front of the TV watching a Harry Potter movie. Cause it seems like they're on all the time.
Yeah.
And I started giving her a hard time about it. And she's like, I didn't do it on purpose. It was just come. The TV landed on Harry Potter all by itself.
It's
sure.
easy to do.
Yeah.
It's magic.
It's magic. That's right. I tried to think of a magic phrase, but I couldn't think of one. So, what's your favorite Stephen King book?
Misery.
Yeah. I haven't read that one.
That's my absolute favorite. I think that's so different than the rest of his books. I don't know. I think it's just the scariest. You should read it since you're an author.
Well, I probably will. You know, it's just not one in my collection. I've got a bunch of his books. I've read the first one I ever read was The Stand.
Oh yeah. I haven't read that. Yeah,
I read that in high school.
That's a pretty big one. I heard that's his best book and I haven't even read it.
it's not my favorite of all the ones. Yeah. And the interesting thing is that, you know, his Dark Tower series, mm-hmm. when he started finishing that series, he started tying in so many of his other characters from other stories into that overall world of the Dark Tower, which was interesting. So the main character, the evil character from The Stand, ends up showing up some in the Dark Tower, which is kind of interesting.
I love that crossover. Yeah. He did that too with In Misery. They have references to the Overlook Hotel from The Shining. So that's cool.
You made a sequel to The Shining too.
Yeah. Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep.
And that's a movie too coming out.
I know. It's coming out right away.
Yeah, with Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm excited.
Yeah. So I didn't think about that.
And he's going to be in a new Obi-Wan movie because I keep up on all the Star Wars news. I actually used to write Star Wars fan fiction
Star Wars fan fiction too. So your whole writing career started with fan fiction. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So did you do any short stories outside of that or before that?
Like for school, because I'm still in school. I'm a creative writing major. And I like studying languages and stuff too. But I would do stuff like that for like school, but for fun, I would write all that. Cause I like how, you have characters to play with. So you can just be really creative and do whatever you want. And I think if you're a beginner at writing, it's very nice because you don't have to put all that effort into building the whole universe and building the characters. I think it's really good if you haven't done it before.
Right. You know, I've never done the fan fiction thing. I've been a fan of,
can write some Obi-Wan Kenobi fan fiction.
I'm not that into Obi-Wan. I'm just not. But I was more into, when I was younger, I was probably more into, Star Trek.
Oh yeah. See, I've never seen Star Trek.
You've never seen?
No.
Never?
I've seen the movies.
But never the original Star Trek.
I've seen a few episodes.
Oh, you're going to have to correct that.
I know.
Your whole culture is... It's messed up. You know, most of the technology we have today came from Star Trek.
That's nuts.
The cell phone, they had the communicators in Star Trek, which was unheard of back in the 1960s when they made the TV show. And then, they used to walk up to a door and the door would open by itself, mm-hmm. which is unheard of. Well, now we have those everywhere.
I didn't even think about that. That's pretty cool.
And they had what they call a replicator where they could tell it to make something and it would make it. Well, now we have 3D printers. It's like all this technology that was on Star Trek in like 1968 is now in reality in 2019.
Well, I should watch it. It seems good. I like the movies.
Oh, movies are fun. I like the newer movies.
Yeah.
I think they've done a really nice job with that.
Yeah, I like those a lot. I've seen Firefly and other stuff. Yeah,
that's a good... I like Firefly. That's a good series and it was a good... The Serenity movie.
Yeah, Serenity. That was a good movie.
Yeah. So you say you were into art before you got into writing. So what kind of, you did some drawing? Did you do any painting or was it mostly drawing?
A lot of like sketching. I like sketching portraits. Right now I, for some reason, really like sketching Jack Nicholson because he has a very expressive face. So he's very fun to sketch. But I used to want to do something with art and I still might, but then I started writing and then that kind of turned into this. So I don't know. I'm working right now kind of with illustrating a children's book.
Oh, really?
But I don't really know. I've never done it before. So I was, confused when she asked me to do it, but it's exciting.
So some friend that wrote a children's book that she wants you to do the illustrations.
Yeah. She's writing it now. And I think she does art stuff too, but I guess she wanted a different illustrator. Mm-hmm. So that'd be cool.
Well, you know, one of my theories is that creative people are they're just creative. And,
yeah.
And so they may focus in a given area, but it also shows up in other areas. You know, I've got my book out, and I spent a lot of time writing that, and I did short stories before that. But I also I've got a cartoon character that every once in a while I'll draw him.
Oh, that's cool.
He might show up in a whiteboard somewhere randomly.
Yeah.
Lately he's been showing up, he's been showing up at I'm employed full time. You know, when I'm not doing podcasts and writing books, I actually have an employer, and there's a whiteboard in one of their offices. And once in a while, he'll show up on the
cool.
whiteboard there. But he goes all the way back. I think I invented him in about 1980 or 81. He started showing up on college whiteboards when I was in college in the early 80s.
What's he look like?
You probably saw him. He's on a chalkboard downstairs.
Well, now I have to go look again.
Yeah. The interesting thing is I can only really draw his face.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time turning him. So it's usually just his face with a different expression and then some sort of a caption, more than anything else. But I've been doing him for a long time. I've done a few kind of, cartoon boards.
Uh-huh.
Posted a couple on my Facebook page, but
we'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I won't get rich off it. I had a guy back in the mid 80s. He's like, "Hey, I think I can get somebody to invest in that. Why don't you draw put together a portfolio." And so then I needed to draw it on purpose. Right.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. I couldn't make it look right. I was overthinking it.
That happens, I feel like, with all creative stuff. The second you start overthinking it, it's like a disaster.
That's exactly right. So when did you start working on things that you wanted to actually really publish?
Probably like a year before I published it or so.
You did it pretty quick.
Yeah, because I've been writing for a while. So, and I knew I wanted to write romance novels, even though I read so much horror. I think maybe one day I would want to write some horror, but I don't know.
Maybe a romance horror.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Some of the titles of romance novels are very similar to like true crime titles I found. Like there is this one romance novel I saw, and I think it was something like "I'll Be Watching You."
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like a true crime novel with the same name or something similar.
Well, isn't one of your books titled Jagged Heart?
Yeah, that could have been like horrifying.
It kind of sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, it could be. I could write another horror novel under like a different pen name.
There you go.
And have it be the same title.
Yeah, pretend like it's fan fiction for your book, and then
that'd
it's
be
like,
hilarious.
Hey, somebody really loves my book, and so they wrote a fan fiction horror.
That'd be so funny. I would do that.
Well, you can take credit for the idea if it works out. If it
like that blows up online. Yeah,
if it tanks, then you can blame it on me.
Yeah.
So it only took you, when you first decided you want to write something and you wanted to publish it in a book, it only took you about a year to do that.
Yeah. Because I knew people who had published already. So, and I had a lot of people who were helping me out, like lots of people who were editors and people who knew a lot about it already. So it was a nice like community of people to kind of help that be published. And I don't know if I would have done it so quickly. I mean, I was 23 when I published it. So I think I might go back and republish it, the first one.
Would you revise it?
Maybe a little because, I don't want to say it's probably my fault too. I just kind of, some things got overlooked. And yeah, you never know. It was 700 pages, so.
And that's, that's the interesting thing. Well, that's pretty long. That's a long book.
Yeah.
But when you, people don't really understand this, I think, that when you write a long story, it's real easy to write details in the beginning that don't line up and match towards the end. And it's part of the process of sorting those out. You know, I had that with mine. It probably took me to write the story.
Yeah.
So you know, when I hit the last key at the end of the story, well, the big first chapter started 4 years ago. So yeah. I had to go back and read it through again.
Do you have a giant like binder of notes?
Oh no, no. I write on the fly.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's why it's hard because now I want to keep track. I've been working on one story for like 3 years now, and I'm excited when that can get out there because I've been writing all my books are the same character so far, and I like them, but I just want to write someone else. So yeah. I'm
you
excited.
Want some new characters.
Yeah. So I'm excited for the one I've been, I think that's my best work so far is this one I've been taking like 3 years to work on, but that it's so hard to remember what I wrote 3 years ago. Right. And then your writing changes as like you practice doing it every single day.
Yeah. Your style gets a little different. Yeah. Your way of phrasing things changes. And I found that when I did mine, I had to go back when I read through it. I'm like, oh, really? I said it that way?
Or, yeah. You know,
and so I did a lot of revisions, right, mm-hmm. as I worked my way through it again, adding detail and fixing things. Like, oh, you know, her hair was red here and it's brunette there, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? Or I had one of my characters was in handcuffs. And in one scene, her hands were cuffed behind her back. And then the next scene, she was cuffed in front of her. And so it was inconsistent.
Yeah.
That. It's like somebody else caught that. I didn't even catch that. I had some beta readers who read it and somebody pointed it out.
Thank God for beta readers.
Thank God for beta readers.
That's because right. It's hard too, like looking at your own work. Cause it's just so hard to edit that or even like I'll find problems in it, but then I think it's all good and I'll have them read it and they find like tons of stuff.
Oh, I know.
Like tons of random stuff. Like I'll have characters wearing like different outfits and it's like 5 minutes later in the scene and they're wearing like something totally different. And I would totally overlook that.
Well, that's because in your mind, you have it pictured and you know what it's supposed to be. And so your mind just blanks over the top of those inconsistencies.
And they pick it up right away.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And so that's where you said, thank God for beta readers.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that really helped. I, when I did mine, I think I made up 12 copies and I think I said in my first podcast that I added a red pen and I just sent it off to them. I said, here, just go to town. And I thought it was really good when I sent it. And it came back from Sally, one of my beta readers. She's an English retired English teacher. Uh-huh. And she literally had red ink on every page. Every page.
It's like I never want to look at it, but I know I have to.
So take us through the process. So from the time you started, you know, I assume you wrote it on a laptop or something. From the time you started until you had a book in your hand. What was the process that you went through?
Well, I wrote a bunch of drafts of it because every single time I would print it, well, I kept printing it out and putting it in like a binder. So it's like all this paper I was wasting, but I recycled it.
A whole forest in Oregon is gone.
I know, basically, because I kept writing things off to the side and like rewording like everything. And then I would think I should just go rewrite the whole thing. So I'm already putting red ink on every single thing. And I probably went through like 5 or 6 drafts of it. I write pretty fast and I would do it like all day. Basically, as soon as I got home from work, I would just start writing and kind of like purging it out. And then after like maybe the 4th or 5th draft, I was like editing it pretty seriously, like myself. And I had like books on how to edit things and like the Chicago style manual, because I didn't want to be like embarrassed sending it to an actual editor and have them see all my mistakes. So I wanted to try to like edit a lot of it myself. And I still do that because I'm superstitious, I think. So I think if I don't do that again, it's going to be like a mess. So I would just like have the binder out and have the Chicago style manual and like the stuff we use in school editing classes and like all the marks that you're supposed to do. And I would just try to do it myself. And then I would go and like through my computer, fix all that. And then after like 2 times of doing that, I sent it to the editor. And of course she found like thousands of mistakes probably. I don't know. So, I mean, I don't want to think about what it would have been like if I hadn't gone through myself. She would have found like millions of mistakes in my draft. But I feel more scared when there's like not a lot of markups when they send it back to you. Like I'd rather have a bunch of red ink on it, like you said, than have like nothing.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like scary.
Yeah.
To see
yeah.
no feedback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I got all those copies back from my beta readers, every one of them had something good, mm-hmm. you know, for me. And I incorporated something from, I think from almost everybody, if not everybody. But Sally's was particularly helpful. I mean, it was so chocked full of red ink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I found her through her brother. I had befriended her brother on Facebook. And he got it and he read it and he was looking at it and he's like, I really need to have my sister do this. And so he sent it to his sister. Well, he and his sister are friends on Facebook. And so Sally started reading through it and she commented to her brother on Facebook, he really doesn't know how to use an ellipse. Well, she had no clue that I could see that comment because we were mutual friends.
It's so awkward. But she could have gone down and like tapped whatever. You can like have it blocked for certain people. Yeah.
But you know, I got a kick out of it. So
did you comment back?
No, I didn't comment back. I kind of got a kick out of it because in fact she was right. I didn't even know what an ellipse was. I didn't know what it was called and I was not using it properly. So she was right. And I learned a lot.
I use it
process.
Way too much.
Yeah. Well, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. I used how to do like M dashes uh-huh. and stuff. And then I wanted to like replace every punctuation mark with like a M dash. Mm-hmm. So I just think it looks cool. Yeah. And I use she knows what that is. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So you get the manuscript ready to go. So what did you do next?
Well, I had a few beta readers look at it. And then they gave me their feedback, mostly positive, but now I don't know, like, especially this book I've been working on for a few years, I just almost want, like, mean feedback or something or negative, just so I know, you know, because I want to know what to expect so I don't publish it and then have negative feedback later. Not that that's really happened, but I just feel like I'd rather kind of cover all my bases. And then after that, I kind of updated a few things in the story. Like, there's some inconsistencies. And then I sent it to the actual person editing it. And then she gave me all her feedback. And then I didn't know what I wanted to do with it at that point, but I kind of wanted to do it all myself and kind of do the cover and everything myself. I mean, I had a cover artist, but I wanted to like have creative control over everything.
Right.
So I self-published it, but now I realize how much work that is. I think after a few more books, try to like shop around for an agent or like go traditional route. I love self-publishing and I feel like you make a lot of more money off of doing it because you can keep a lot of the royalties, but it's just stressful. You have to really know a lot about business and it's like, that's totally not me. I'm more like creative. So that's been the biggest struggle is like the marketing side and like the social media and what to do with all of that. So,
yeah, I think that is one of the challenges that creative folks have. They don't necessarily have the business mind to go along with it. Some people are blessed with both and that's really great. But I think it's always important for creative people to recognize what they're weaknesses are as well as their strengths because sometimes they need to ask for help with the stuff that they're weaker with.
Yeah. That's why I like our group we have because there's so many authors who have so much to give, like each and every one of them.
Yeah.
So it's like you can learn something from everyone, I think.
So you self-published.
Uh-huh.
What avenue did you use for self-publishing?
I just put it on Amazon.
So was it CreateSpace then or was it Kindle Direct yet?
I was using CreateSpace for the first one. The second one I did the Kindle Direct and actually I thought that was a lot easier. A lot of people were complaining about it, but the formatting was so much easier on Kindle Direct. So I like it. I think maybe after this series, I would want to post it on like all the platforms and kind of spread it around. But I didn't want to start off confusing myself too much since right. I was 23 and have no idea what I was doing. So it was just kind of like a random thing almost that I figured out how to do the Kindle. So I had to ask a lot of people. And luckily at the time I knew a bunch of authors anyway. So I could just ask for their opinion and call them a bunch of times and annoy them until I could figure out how to do it. But it was a relief when it was up. It was a struggle. Especially the formatting, because I didn't want to pay someone to do it, because I'm like, I can just do it myself. And it was hard.
Yeah, it's hard. I think for me, the hardest thing to get my mind around is the formatting, because I really don't understand the formatting.
Yeah.
The cover art, I mean, I had some concepts and some ideas when I did mine. But then when I saw, I used a self-publishing publisher service I won't mention because I probably won't recommend them in the future. Mm-hmm. But they did a super nice job on my cover. And it's so much better than I would have created. And so yeah. I was really, really pleased that I let them do the cover instead of me doing it.
I didn't even think about doing the cover myself because it just seemed so intimidating. So I found someone to do it. And she's great. I sent her pictures of what I wanted because I just wanted the right feeling, I guess, to it.
Right.
So she's great. Her name is Jada. And I found out about her because this is so dorky. She was mentioned on the movie, like 50 Shades Darker or something, because she's friends with that author. And I watched that with my friend. And then someone on Facebook was talking about her, and I was like, oh, she does covers, and it was affordable. So,
so you took advantage of that.
Yeah. Well, that's how I found out about her in the first place.
Well, tell us about your books.
Well, they're romance novels, and the characters are around my age. So they're like 24, 25. And, it's about a guy who loses his brother and sister-in-law, and they had a baby. And once they died in a car accident, he takes the baby in, and then he falls in love and all this. It was cool when I published the first one, because I think the first review was from this woman who lost her brother in an accident, just like the person in the book. And then he had a baby, her brother did. So she was like talking about how it kind of affected her in that way, reading about it. And because it's kind of all about like forgiveness and kind of moving past things in life. And he has a lot of problems in his past. Like he used to be an alcoholic, and, you know, he goes through all of that in the book and goes through rehab and kind of learns about forgiveness and everything.
Oh, awesome. Now you've got two books out. Are both of them following the same characters?
Yeah. Well, the first one, excuse me. The first one's pretty long, and then the second one is the girl's perspective of the first one, because a lot of people ask me about it, so I thought I already had it on my computer, basically. So I went and published that, and at this point, I've just written it for so long that I'm excited to move on onto other things, but I like these characters. But if you've written anyone for that long, it's hard.
Yeah. You kind of want something fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in mine, I'm writing my sequel, and, I'm expanding the characters as I go along. So like in the sequel now, I've added, I don't know, probably a 10 or 12.
It's like fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh. And mine's got a fantasy element. So I'm delving a little deeper into the fantasy part of it. And so if I do a third one, it's going to be probably mostly in the fantasy world. So that's going to be an interesting process.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But I've got another book that I've started and it's completely out of that genre, completely out. It's more of a family drama.
I like drama. I like that sort of thing. That's cool. Is it any of the elements of like a thriller type thing?
No, it's completely family drama. And in fact, it's based on real events in my mother's life, starting when she was about 18 years old. Now, my mother was 5 days short of being 40 when I was born. So pretty much everybody who was involved in that early part of her life has passed on. So I'm just taking the stories that I heard over the years and I'm fictionalizing them so that I can kind of expand upon them. And I'm going to take it all the way through to the, towards the end of her life. And so it's going to be kind of a loose, it's loosely based on my mother's life, but, it's going to have a lot of, I get to thinking about it. I was thinking about my mom and in her life, and I'm thinking about all the things that happened to her. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's a story in there.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to write it, but I got to get through a couple other steps before I can get back to that one.
That'd be really cool.
My hope is that that actually turns out to be my biggest and best work. Yeah. Like you talked about, you know, your one you've been working on, you feel like it's maybe your best work.
So
it's just
far,
taking you a long time, right? Well, and you got a lot more years ahead of you than I do. I'm sitting here looking at Lizzie and she just admitted that she's in her mid 20s and I'm not in my mid 20s. So I'm a little ahead of you in the age range. So I don't have as much time to write as many books as
you could probably write a bunch, whatever.
maybe after I fully retire. But okay. So that's what your books are about. What are they called? What's the names, titles?
The first one's The Blessing, referring to like the baby in his life. And the second one, like you said, is Jagged Hearts. And then the one I'm about to publish is called Tethered Souls. That's the third one. So,
and you can find all these books on Amazon.
Yeah. So, and they're all romance novels. If you like that, even if you don't like romance novels, they're relaxing to read for anyone who hasn't read that genre. They're kind of funny.
Now, I don't want to delve into this too much, but they're also a little steamy.
Is that
a fair statement? So
that's very fair.
Okay. So for those of you out there who maybe have some sensibilities about that, keep
maybe
that in
don't
mind.
Read it.
Maybe don't read it because they have some steamy scenes in it. I'm taking from your website. LizzieLee.com. LizzieLee.com.
You can always read it and then email me about what you thought. Maybe you didn't like it.
Oh.
Yeah, I gave it to my grandma, the first one, and I like glued a bunch of pages together and like would like mark things out with Sharpie.
Don't read this section.
Yeah. I mean, I know she's obviously older and she's had a bunch of kids and you know, whatever, but still.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't need to read it at all. And she has the second book and she got that on her own. So I didn't have a chance to mark anything out of that. So I'm sure she'll be calling me soon.
Oh, she hasn't read it yet?
She just started. So the beginning's tame. So she likes it so far. But give it a few chapters and she'll call me probably
Lizzie?
Yeah. She'll be like, what is this?
We need to talk.
No, she'll be like, oh, I really... She'll find something nice to say, but it's all in the tone.
So one of the things that I, and I'm not sure how I'm going to adapt this going forward. So how I phrase this today, pardon me if it's awkward
because
I may adapt and change how I approach this, in future podcasts. But since this is a first interview, I run the risk of saying this, awkwardly, but, has faith, because one of the things I touch on in this podcast are matters of faith. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to dig into it too deeply, but has faith played any role in your creative process coming up through, or is that, or is it in the back of your mind, or you have any, you can say no if there's not, but.
Well, I don't know so much my creative process, but actually in my first book, at least, there's kind of references to that a little bit, even though the genre is totally like you wouldn't think there's anything just because he's in AA and they have like kind of Bible verses on the wall and he'll look at that right. And kind of that relates to the story. But it's, I wouldn't say my creative process is like that, but I think with anything around you, it kind of trickles through to whatever you do.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you had steamy scenes in your book, but you know, there's actually some steamy scenes in the Bible. If anybody's ever read Song of Solomon, there's some steamy scenes.
So if
in
you
there.
Read that, maybe you can also read this. Actually, maybe not.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe but not. Keep it in mind.
Yeah. Provide a little grace for that.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, any last comments or anything you want to make about your books or any pitches or any, anything you want to say before we wrap this thing up today?
Well, if my editor is listening to this, because I'm going to tell her about it, she probably is. I'm sorry in advance for what I will send you. And her name's Sally too. So yeah. Well, you're beta reader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if she couldn't find anything to fix, then what's the point, right?
Yeah, she wouldn't have anything to do if it wasn't for people me.
She needs people that send her stuff that's messy. So
she will be in my thoughts and prayers when she looks through it.
Okay, well, the way I want to end this conversation is actually, it's a concept that I've used in my other podcast that you mentioned earlier. For those of you listening out there, I do another podcast that's basically for my church. Now, this podcast is not church based. It's not, while I talk about faith a little bit, it's not really a Christian podcast per se, but I started this little concept called the random questions. Mm-hmm. And so I got a little box here in between us. It's got 8 random questions in it. It's just for fun. So what I'd like for you to do is those questions out. Don't rip it up and throw it away, but pull one out and read it and then answer the random question for us.
What is your favorite vacation destination? Well, I haven't been a lot of places, but I want to go to Japan. So I know that will be my favorite destination. Like, I take Japanese class. Well, I told you after this, I'm going to Japanese class for like 3 hours.
Oh, that's right. You like languages, don't you?
Yeah. I watch a lot of anime. So
do you write fan fiction for anime?
Yeah.
I don't know how you would do that. How would you do that?
Oh, you can. So I watched that like growing up. So I like, obviously, anything. Well, I like just learning languages. If I hear them a lot, so I think it's interesting and it's cool when you're watching something to be able to like pick out words, you know, even if it's like one word. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to learn Korean, but it's really hard. So, because I listen to a lot of K-pop as well.
I work for a Japanese company, and sometimes I'll tell people, you know, I work for a Japanese company, and they're like, "Well, do you know any Japanese words?" And I'm like, sure, I know some Japanese words. Honda.
Yeah. Oh,
I Toyota. Honda.
You're right.
Yeah. So we all know some Japanese words.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fun though. So I think I would like to go there and buy a ton of stuff and go visit everything there. I want to study. I think I might study abroad actually. So maybe I will just stay there.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my daughter spent 3 days in Japan. I've not been there. I've been working for this Japanese company for over 21 years.
And oh my God.
I've not been there.
You should make them let you go.
Make them put me on an airplane and coach for 20 hours.
Yeah.
I would like to go over sometime. It would be fun to see the culture.
Yeah.
I'm not a sushi guy though. I don't know how I'll survive, to find the Japanese version of McDonald's.
Yeah. But they have it. So.
I know.
It's fancy. I want to go there and probably like South Korea. So those would probably be my two destinations I would really like, but I haven't traveled much, so I can't say right now, but they will be my favorites.
Well, cool deal. All right. Well, I'm going to close out the podcast with a passage of scripture. It's another one of my regular things that I'm going to do on this podcast, at least until I run out of passages that I want to share. Which I don't know how long that will take. So it might be, I just dropped a bunch of stuff on the floor. I don't know if y'all could hear that, but it happened.
Oh, that's a nice Bible.
Well, thank you. Thank you. My daughter gave this to me for Father's Day. No, birthday present. Birthday present from 2011.
That's so cool.
I was younger then. So it's Exodus chapter 35, starting in verse 30. It says, "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab,'" I don't know if I pronounced that right. I probably messed that one up. "Son," here's a worse one. "Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So, as I said, I think that our creativity flows from our Creator. And I hope that you, the listener out there, are exploring your own creativity. Thank you for joining us this week on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast can be found through any podcast listing provider. New episodes will drop approximately twice per month. Connect with Michael at the following email address: authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Again, that's authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel, can be purchased as an ebook, paperback, or hardcover through any bookstore, both online and local. Get your copy and start your own Cutter's Notch adventure today.